Let's give this a try. It's the news, according to... Well, good Monday morning. What time is it? It's 8:48 Eastern Standard Time. I'm in Dallas right now. I tried to do a show on Friday evening, actually, and I tried to get that done. I did the show and then was unable to get it posted because of internet issues. Thought I could clear it up on Saturday morning, and of course that didn't happen. Saturday morning didn't work either. And so it has been a little bit of a challenge getting a show out here. But this morning I have some time, so hopefully the internet service here where I'm at will be working fine, and I'll be able to post this show. And I do apologize for the background noise. I've got my laptop here, and I'm just using the laptop microphone. And of course, now I'm hearing the fan kick on the laptop, and it's quite loud. So I'm assuming you're going to be able to hear that noise. It's not windy here. It's just there's a fan blowing, and of course that what makes all the difference with that is how that changes what's in my cup. I am sad to say here I am in Dallas where they make excellent sweet tea, and of course there's no sweet tea here. So at this particular location now later today, if it's any comfort for you to know, later on today I do have plans to get some sweet tea at a Chick-fil-A. So I will be doing that later on. In the meantime, I will just be having Chick-fil-A, having water here this morning. I have a bottle of water. Refreshing. Yeah. Lukewarm, room temperature bottle of water. That's what I've got going on today. So we have a lot of things that potentially could be talked about this morning. The show that I put on, was going to post last Friday, I'm going to kind of talk about those things again. What's bad about this is that I don't remember, I kind of remember what I talked about. The problem is I tend to flush that information and I move on. I don't know if any of you are that way. You know, once you've completed something, you just kind of keep moving forward. That's kind of what I do. I don't really want to go back and feel like I'm talking about the same thing again, even though you haven't heard it. But to me, it seems like I'm repeating myself. Because it seems like I just keep repeating myself. And then when I feel like I'm repeating myself, I just feel like I've repeated myself several times, and I just keep repeating myself. I'm not sure if you understand what I'm saying when I say that I repeat myself. So I'll say it again. No, I'm not going to do that. Just kidding. So we have the big issue last week. The thing that was really like just making the leftists' heads melt last week was the town hall, the Trump town hall, and the response from the general response from most leftists. CNN, on one hand, is being eviscerated by the left for having him on there. How could they allow this man on there? Oh, this is so disgusting. Oh, he's just a monster. He's in the... gets on there and lies and lies and lies. And then the other side of it, of course, MSNBC was the one who was going after it because they don't like it because CNN got all the ratings. And so this is the crazy part of it is that not only, of course, that everybody on the right side of things, the conservatives, all see it as, you know, there's nothing but a hit job. And they just think CNN looks stupid and looked like they were trying to attack the candidate Trump, former President Trump. And they didn't, it just amazes me how this all goes on. Now, Trump said some things that, of course, even being Trump, but he was very controlled, very, very metered, very, I would say, reserved. He did, the lady who was kept interrupting him, Caitlin, I think, I'm not sure what her name is, she kept interrupting him and was asking more questions than the audience was. Now, normally a town hall is set up so that it's an opportunity for people, the general public, to ask questions of the president and to have it moderated by the moderator. In this case, it was an attack by the moderator with an occasional question from the audience. I think there was like 8 or 9 questions from the audience total in a 1-hour period. And you know, that's he could he f- could have fielded 100 questions in that amount of time, probably. So, or at least 50, getting a one-minute answer. And so it's just a sad state of affairs, of course, then they do that. However, it just made them look stupid, in my opinion. Of course, now the other networks are upset about it. Fox, of course, has jumped all over it. There's some revelations that have come out about Fox that in recent days that, again, just make it look like Fox may be on the rails. The people who are behind the scenes controlling things now could very, very well be, I think they're going to intentionally shipwreck it, either shipwreck it or try to drive it into a genre that it just will never be the same what it was. Now, obviously, there's always been some problems behind the scenes. Any big network will have issues because they're trying to protect their brand, and they're trying not to get too far off on one side or the other. They're trying to be very careful about what they say. Of course, in this day of cancel culture, that's you have to do that. Or you don't have to, but it's detrimental. It can be detrimental. Not that it has to be, but it can be. So it's one of those things where I think that they struggle with that. I think as a news organization, and of course they're held to very tight scrutiny. And again, this is one of the things I said about. I think I said this on the show that was not posted. I think one of the reasons that we need a person like Trump is that Trump, he can. You can accuse him of anything. You can prove that he did something, and he doesn't care. This is why when he says this didn't happen with this lady, this woman, he said I've never met her. What he meant by that was he didn't know her. He'd never formally been introduced. They had a picture taken together. I mean, obviously they met, but that doesn't mean you've met someone. That people will stand in line to get their picture taken. I have my picture taken with Tim Hawkins. Tim Hawkins wouldn't know me from Adam. He just has a line of people after his show. He's a comedian, by the way. And you walk up there and you stand in line, and he stands there, and you hand him your phone, and they take a picture of you, and you get your picture with Tim Hawkins. This happens a lot of times after many performers do this after the show. They have like an afterglow where you can go up and kind of meet the person. You don't really talk to them. You don't get, you don't say much to them. It's just one person after another. In 20 minutes, they got all the pictures taken and everybody's done. They don't know you. They haven't met you, theoretically, or in a formal way. This is the kind of thing that probably happened with him and this lady and her husband. Now, this is the kind of guy who, if he says that he didn't do something or that he did do something or whatever it was, I have a tendency to believe him because he has no shame. The guy doesn't have any reason to be. To lie about it, he doesn't care. He doesn't care what people think about it. He's Donald Trump, In his brain, in his mind, in his world, I don't know what he would. I don't know what would even cause him shame at this point, other than to for someone to prove that he's worth less than he says he is. That would probably cause him shame. But or maybe something with his family, something to that effect might. I don't know. It's now. Again, and here again, we have an issue where his family is comparatively on the up and up. I think they've done a very good job of managing their affairs, unlike the affairs of a particular current sitting president, which I think is appalling that we're even still talking about this. I guarantee you, if these kinds of things were coming out about a Republican senator or a Republican president, no matter how well liked he was or how well approved he was by the administration, by the establishment, I guarantee you, they would not be trying to cover it up, ignore it, or anything else. They would be, well, we have to stand on our principles. Now, have you heard Mitch McConnell come out at all and say anything about Joe Biden and his business dealings and how any person like that should not be a nominee for the presidency? Have you heard him say anything like that? He said that on behalf of the Republican Party. Donald Trump said these things, did these kinds of things, and he shouldn't be. And anyone who did that, had a picture taken with somebody, well, whatever it was, that person shouldn't be, that person should not be a candidate for the Republican Party. That's what Mitch McConnell came out and said. He's quick to say that. Maybe he doesn't think he can speak on behalf of the Democrat Party or give his opinion on what the Democrat Party should do. Of course, he wouldn't. He wouldn't do that because, you know, Joe's my friend. I've known Joe for 57,000 years. So that's part of the whole problem here is it's this big, good old boy mentality, the boys club that they've got going on there. So what we have going on is this cabal, if you will, of news organizations that, again, they just ignore everything. You know, we can mention the classified documents and how ridiculous that whole thing was. We can talk about the business dealings. We can talk about the border. We can talk about the economy. We can talk about so many various things here. How many impeachable offenses has Joe Biden committed since he's been in office? When you stop and think about it, you know, Trump got impeached for a phone call, for asking another president to look into the corruption of Joe Biden. Now we're finding out that corruption was actually corruption, and it should have been looked into. Nobody else was doing it. The FBI, who supposedly works under the president, direction of the president, the executive branch, it was... wasn't doing their job, and still aren't doing their job. Every time I see Christopher Wray being interviewed or asked questions by anybody from Congress, especially from Jim Jordan and Comer and these guys that are really going after him and asking him questions, Rand Paul was asking some questions of Christopher Wray, and he just kept reinforcing the fact that he was not answering his questions. He said, "Well, yes, I'm answering your question. No, you're not answering my question. So we're following the law." Well, did you do this? I can't answer that specifically. I don't know. We are following the law. I guarantee you, we're following the law. Okay. I'm the King of England. We need to have some accountability here, Christopher Wray. And you need to be able to prove that these things aren't happening. You don't have the luxury of... You are the government. You are the law enforcement. You don't have the government of innocent until proven guilty in this particular case. He's not going after Christopher Wray as an individual. He's going after an organization that's accountable to the American people. And there needs to be accountability. You have to prove your track record. It's just like when I actually heard this the other day on the news. I heard a commentator actually say this. Maybe he heard my show. When Bill Barr came out just a couple days after the election and said, "Well, we don't see any evidence. There's no evidence of voter fraud. No, it just seems to be a clean election and no evidence of voter fraud." You know, and the question is, well, okay, let's talk about the investigation that you conducted into voter fraud. There's plenty of accusations. There's plenty of tips and leads you could have followed up on. What was the budget in your investigation there, Mr. Barr? Who were the people that were assigned to the task of finding voter fraud that were under your direction? How much money did you spend? Where's the time sheets of the people who were involved in determining whether there was any voter fraud? Well, there isn't anybody assigned to that. It's just, I just watched the news, and of course, they said there wasn't any voter fraud, so that was my investigation. That's basically all he did. He just basically determined on his own, no investigation, no team assigned to anything. He just outright says, blanket statement, no widespread voter fraud. It would affect the election, period. And then we find out that there's hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of votes that were illegally harvested or cast that went around the rules of most states. This should be on, now not that the federal government can prosecute anybody from any states, because it's state law. The states have their own elections. However, the federal government could investigate and say, these states broke their own laws because they can't do anything about it, but they could investigate and find out what happened there and make recommendations to the states. That can absolutely happen. And the pressure then is on by the news media. If we had a fair and balanced news media, they're supposed to be journalists, not partisan hacks, which is all we have now. So it just continues to snowball down this road. We have an FBI, a Justice Department, that is one-sided, lopsided, definitely only concerned about protecting the left and going after the right. We have a media that is completely in the tank for this administration, and not even this administration necessarily, it's just this party, the leftist party. I don't know if I just noticed this morning on a news feed up in Minnesota, there's a particular district up there, and I believe it's the same district as the district where, what's her name? It's not AOC. She's one of the squad. She's a little Somalian woman. Can't think of her name right now. I guess she actually, in her district, it wasn't her, it didn't have anything to do with her, she wasn't there. But there was a brawl that broke out, basically a... Now, this was on the AP. I saw this on the AP, and they were toning it down. There was actually one person that ended up going to the hospital, another person got injured and was treated on the scene. No one was seriously injured, supposedly. And I think sending somebody to the hospital, in my opinion, is a serious injury. If you go to the hospital, it's serious. It's serious enough to go to the hospital. Two particular candidates up there, and one group took over the other. I would have thought I was looking at something that was going on in a third world country. That's what I thought I was looking at watching this video. It was embarrassing, to say the least. Shouting, yelling, screaming, pushing people down, pushing people around. And they ended up adjourning the meeting, and nobody... They never came up with a candidate. This was just one party coming up with a candidate to run for this particular city council. I won't tell you which party it was. I think you can guess on that one. Let's just say this is what democracy under democratic socialism looks like. It was chaos. How anybody can be proud of what they did there, I have no idea. It was absolutely ridiculous. And this is where our country is headed. The civility is starting to deteriorate in some areas. And, you know, it looked like an insurrection. You know, you could say this was it was just ridiculous. Now, the comments is where I'd like to go with this. The comments that I read below, many of them, all they said were, you know, gotta vote blue. Democrats, you know, Democrat Party, blah, blah, blah. We're the party that's alive. One of them said, this wasn't a brawl. AP called it a brawl. Now, the AP is not a right-wing organization. AP called it a brawl. People were defending it, saying, or attacking that statement, saying it wasn't a brawl, it was just a disturbance. No, disturbance is when somebody just stands up in the middle of the meeting and interrupts things. That's a disturbance. It's an all-out brawl, and people are just all over the place, up on the stage, everywhere, shouting, screaming, have bullhorns, waving signs, pushing each other down, hitting each other. That's a brawl. It's a brawl. Yeah. So just, you know, all we have to do is define what's happening. That's how we do this now, apparently. That's how everything works now. So I have a Let's just say I have a very interesting day ahead of me. I should be back home this evening, if all goes well. If I'm not home this evening, there will not be a show tomorrow, and there may not be a show the rest of the week, because I'll be really mad if I don't get home tonight. Again, I've been gone for 5 days. This is day five, and I'm just beat. I'm hoping to get this day over with, but all goes well, and I can get on my flight. I've got a very tight schedule. I've got like 1 hour to go from when I get done to getting on my flight. Hopefully that all works well. And so that's, there you go. I have, it's going to be a very nerve-wracking day. Let's just put it that way. And I'm just getting started. It's 8 o'clock here in Dallas, by the way, 8:10. So I'm going to try to post this particular show. Hopefully you all will be well on your way through your day by now. And wherever you are, that you, whether you're going to bed or rising up, whatever you're doing, hopefully your day goes well. And hopefully your night goes well. The rest of your week goes well. I probably will have a show the rest of the week, but who knows? That may not happen. Tomorrow's a very busy day as well. So we'll see how it all goes. Once again, folks, thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Thank you for praying for our nation and praying for the leaders of our nation, especially in our religious institutions, as they're called, people of faith, those who are trying to lead and guide us, the elders in the faith, the pillars in the faith. That's just, let's just pray for the nation. God bless, folks. Have a great day.